W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. It could be days before power is restored in Moore County in North Carolina, outside of Raleigh. Police say two power substations were shot up by one or more people with apparent criminal intent. The AP's Hannah Schoenbaum is there.
They have some heaters, a couple fire pits out here. Everybody is sitting outside bundling for warmth around these few fire pits and trying to get some warm drinks and home-cooked meals.
The Moore County Sheriff, Ronnie Field, says authorities have not determined a motivation. South Korea's military says North Korea fired about 130 artillery rounds near the border.
South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff say the weapons fell within the northern side of buffer zones created under the 2018 inter-Korean agreement to reduce military tensions. There's been, though, no immediate reports of shells falling inside South Korean territorial waters. The South's military says it communicated a verbal warning to the North and urged it to abide by the agreement. The North's firings are possibly a response to the South's artillery exercises scheduled from Monday to Wednesday near an inland border town. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Russia unleashed what Ukrainian authorities call the largest massive missile attack across their country, striking homes and buildings, killing civilians and disrupting electrical power and water supplies in areas notably in the Black Sea port city of Odessa. Ukraine's Air Force claims it shot down more than 60 of the 70 missiles fired. Major Western measures to limit Russia's oil profits over the war in Ukraine took effect today, a price cap of $60 per barrel on Russian exports to other countries. Confusion over the status of Iran's religious police grew as state media cast doubt on reports the force has been shut down. It has appeared for weeks that enforcement of the strict dress code has been scaled back in Iran as more women walk the streets without wearing the required headscarf. This is AP News.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80 plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. The bill to avert a rail strike passed the Senate last week on a vote of 80 to 15, but Wisconsin senators have different views on what happened. While ultimately approving the measure, Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin said she would have preferred a deal that ensured rail workers get 7 days of sick leave. That failed, 52 to 43. Republican Senator Ron Johnson voting against it, but he did vote to approve the final measure, says though he would rather have extended a cooling-off period, which would have forced both sides back to negotiate. That effort failed with a 25 to 70 vote. Baldwin says Congress needing to weigh in on the measure was a direct result of the greed of the railroads and their Wall Street backers. Johnson said Democrats are playing politics and didn't believe Congress should insert itself between private companies and their workforce. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
you know, compare that to the protests of 2020, which were 93-94% nonviolent, and the national news coverage that was painting it as our cities are burning to the ground, Minneapolis is on fire, Kenosha's on fire, you know, these left-wing terrorists are literally burning everything to the ground. And that just was not the case compared to this situation in North Carolina, where they quite literally attacked two power substations, cutting power for almost 40,000 residents who are now have spent the last 3-4 days in 29 degree weather for hours at a time because they don't have energy.
And it is an act of
dangerous.
It's an act of domestic terrorism, because if this is the result of a community having a drag brunch or some kind of drag show. And the message here by these individuals is, if you have those types of events, you don't get power. And we're not talking about a town of 4,000, because Keele was small. Like you said, it was more of an isolated incident, but Wisconsin seems to be a testing ground for some of these ideas, where the right wing gets away with immobilizing the town of 4,000 people over a Title IX investigation into students using the correct pronouns for another student. And that case gets dropped, that investigation gets dropped, so it was successful. Those bomb threats in Keele, Wisconsin worked. And that is a sign for...
That's the lesson to take from this, yeah.
They're emboldened.
If it works, they're going to keep doing it.
Exactly. And so the message here from this right-wing group in North Carolina is that if you try to have drag shows, you don't get power. Your hospitals, your homes, the community doesn't get power because we are so aggrieved that a drag show went on, that we're going to shoot up a substation. But North Carolina, Will, is not the only place where this happened over the weekend. Reading from an article over at Vice News, the far right attacked four different attacked drag events in four different states over this past weekend. So this is not an isolated event. These people
and
are being
And the one in Ohio
emboldened.
Was being held by a church, by the way. The Unitarian Church was forced to cancel a planned Drag Queen Story Hour event when nearly 50 Proud Boys showed up wearing tactical gear, faces covered in masks, all that kind of stuff, ski goggles, you know.
And have you seen some of these videos on social media of these guys walking up and down the streets in these cases?
It genuinely looks like something from a Hollywood film of, you know, they're essentially... trying to mimic some kind of like army, like they
the
think
Wolverines.
They
think it's
Rambles
Red Dawn.
Or
yeah,
something.
It's disturbing how emboldened these actors are, and they're organizing. But if you want to brush the right wing rhetoric that is drumming these people up under the rug, these are the ramifications that we're going to see from those viewpoints being emboldened on social media and not being talked about and held accountable for their actions. When people are able to call in bomb threats to stop a Title IX investigation here in Keele, or people are able to use force and violence, as in North Carolina, to shut down power, that is terrorism. And it needs to be called out, and it needs to be discussed, because the fact of the matter is, this will only get worse, Will. We are only going to see more. Four cases around the country this weekend.
Just this weekend, yeah. Well, can you imagine if this was some kind of left-wing protest, if this was a BLM protest and they attacked a substation like
two
that?
Two statues got torn down on State Street and people lost their minds. And now a community in North Carolina of 40,000 people is without power. And it's not even getting the headlines that I think it deserves, because they're not calling it terrorism. They're calling it vandalism.
And something we've talked about in the past, Luke, that I think has to be brought up in this situation is, it's not that nobody is talking about it in the same sense that the statues recovered nationally. Like, supposedly left-leaning media, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, these national outlets haven't touched on it either. They're not calling it terrorism either. This is not, you know, I think this is kind of the perfect example of how mainstream media across the nation has two different sets of standards based on who's committing these acts of terror. and how aggressively they're going to cover it based on who the perpetrators are.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. William Walter joining me for this Monday afternoon. We're going to continue the conversation here because we now have a definition of what woke is. And we got some Wisconsin headlines that we're going to share with you as well from over the weekend. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. We're going to be back after a quick break. Stay tuned.
Make sure those ones and zeros are working.
Ones and twos.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather in a moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 38. Westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows around 27. Overcast skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with me today, 844-967-2789. Joined by William Walter this Monday afternoon. Brian Kelly getting a little well-deserved R&R for the next couple of days. And Will, it's pretty interesting to hear not only these stories around the nation not be referred to as domestic terrorism in the appropriate lens to report on these stories. We're also finding out now that woke may have an official definition, at least legally, in the state of Florida. And you brought this one to my attention. I kind of grazed over it over the weekends. Again, trying not to give a whole lot of attention to the governor down there in Florida, but he's in a legal suit right now, and that legal suit is asking Governor DeSantis to define what he means by woke, because woke has become kind of this generalized term that people in the Make America Great Again movement, Republicans in general, conservatives, used to rally against. They rally against the wokeness.
They're so good at it. The right wing is so good at taking phrases that originally mean one thing and vilifying it into an over-encompassing term that essentially means anything that we don't like, anything we disagree with, anything that we can use as an insult to immediately dismiss the arguments that you're making. They're so damn good at it.
Yeah, they're terrible at governing. But they're very good at attempting to own the libs. That's what their whole game plan is most of the time, and they've used woke to really lead that charge, removing wokeness and eliminating wokeness. And so you found this article. So let's share with the people, Will, what Governor DeSantis views the actual definition of woke.
So for a little backstory, Ron DeSantis recently suspended the Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren because he was too progressive, and you know Ronnie doesn't want anybody who's not part of his right-wing cabal to represent his state in any way, shape, or form. Of course, this went to trial, and during the three-day trial this week, attorneys for Warren were able to put the question to DeSantis' aides, asking essentially, "What does woke mean?" As DeSantis called Florida the place where, quote, woke goes to die. And they accused Warren as being a woke ideologue masquerading as a prosecutor, which is why he was suspended, obviously.
Do you think that is the new slogan, kind of like on the signs when you enter the state of Florida? Just like, welcome to Florida, where woke goes to die.
They want all those like 60 and 70 year old boomers.
They're moving there already.
They're already going to see that and be there. Like, yes. This is my heaven. Thank you. This is the Garden of Eden. I've just been looking for somewhere for woke to die. So essentially, DeSantis's communication director went on to explain that woke was a slang term for activism or progressive activism, a general belief that systemic injustices exist. Well, DeSantis's general counsel actually took it a step further. Ryan Newman, when asked to define what woke means, said that it would be quote, a belief that there are systemic injustices in American society and the need to address them. So they are essentially admitting that being woke means that we recognize that America has problems and we want to fix them. Therefore, the counter woke movement that DeSantis and the Republican Party is supporting is essentially, the status quo is great. America is perfect. There's nothing to fix. Rah, rah, rah. Anybody who's trying to make any difference
or
in a positive way is a bad person.
You could define it as, if you're anti-woke, you're all for sweeping those injustices under the rug. You acknowledge those injustices because that's what they're saying the definition of woke is, but you're totally fine with not fixing them. That's what anti-woke would be, too, if you wanted to read the definition slightly in a different way. But it is pretty telling that that is now in the legal proceedings down in the state of Florida, because DeSantis's general counsel had to define woke, and that is what they said.
He also added that, to me, it means someone who believes that there are systemic injustices in the criminal justice system, and on that basis, they can decline to fully enforce or uphold the law when referring to the prosecutor, which is why he needed to be suspended. So I'm reading that as they genuinely don't believe there are any injustices. I don't know what's worse. What do you think is worse, Luke? To believe that there are injustices, but we want to sweep it under the rug, or to be head in the sand, there's nothing wrong with America, there are no injustices, stop bringing it up. I don't know what I would consider morally worse.
I think the first one's worse. Honestly, I think if you're saying, yes, I can identify the fact that there are problems, but I'm going to willingly ignore or actively fight addressing those problems.
Actively suppress the... Yeah, exactly.
I think that one's worse than just acting like everything's perfect to begin with. So it's definitely a pretty interesting dynamic what's going down there in Florida. But DeSantis defining woke, even though I don't think it puts him in that shiny of a light for his anti-wokeness with that woke definition. Folks,
at the national level, no, but people in Florida will love it.
Oh, yeah. People in Florida absolutely love it because that state has been going farther and farther to the right. And I have a feeling, though, those policies probably don't play as well nationally as DeSantis is hoping they may. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We are going to get to those phone lines when we come back from this break. But if you want to follow the show, you can do so on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can follow Civic Media there as well at Civic Media US. I'm joined by William Walter. Will, you got a handle you want to throw out there for the folks to follow you at?
Oh, yeah. Hit me up on Twitter, WillWalter93, Will with one L, WillWalter93. It's always a party.
It is.
We know how it is. Yeah. I mean, usually we party when you're not here, Luke. I'm not supposed to tell you that because Evan and I keep it on the DL.
No wonder the lampshades are always flipped over when I get back. But I'm glad that you're joining me on this Monday afternoon. Like I said, we're going to get to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. When we get back, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. More headlines when we return.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and...
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. The case of Colorado graphic artist Lori Smith is before the Supreme Court today. She objects to designing wedding websites for gay couples. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson asked, can a photo store refuse to take pictures of black children on Santa's lap?
Their policy is that only white children can be photographed with Santa in this way, because that's how they view the scenes with Santa that they're trying to depict.
Justice Neil Gorsuch asked Smith's attorney, Kristen Wagner,
that there are certain heterosexual unions that your client would not speak toward either. Is that correct?
Certainly, and that's in the stipulated facts in terms of she declines messages based on the message, and she has declined other projects based on the message that have nothing to do with same-sex marriage.
So the question isn't who, it's what?
Always.
The designer says a ruling against her would force artists to do work that is against their faith. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hi, this is Joe Cordell with the law firm Cordell & Cordell. Divorce can be complicated, especially if children are involved. If you're a father and want to protect your role in your children's lives, remember Cordell & Cordell. We've helped men with matters like these for 30 years, and we'd love to help you.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Atlanta area attorneys. 404-793-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. 1 Glen Lake Parkway Northeast, Suite 975, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get him a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be...
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The former Milwaukee Election Commission deputy director is free after posting bail at her initial court appearance Friday. Kimberly Zapata is pleading not guilty to 3 misdemeanor counts of lying in order to obtain an absentee ballot. She's also charged with misconduct in public office. That's a felony. Zapata says she was trying to point out how easy she believes it is to falsify military absentee ballots. Wisconsin gas prices are falling. AAA reports a statewide average for regular was $3.07 a gallon on Friday. That's about 60 cents lower than a month ago. Some stations are selling gas for less than $3 a gallon. Experts are predicting prices will go even lower this week. In sports, the Bucks are at Orlando tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
back to Dueling Tangents. We got William Walter joining us this Monday afternoon. You can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Will, let's head over to those phone lines now. We got our friend
let's
Dick
do it.
In Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, I couldn't agree with you guys more that these incidents you bring up are definitely domestic terrorism. But over the weekend, I hate to even bring the guy up, but I'm going to. I kind of think where he's going now is a form of treason, domestic treason. Because when you swear an oath, when you take, you know, office in either the House or the Senate or as vice president or president, it's to the Constitution, is it not?
Mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, well, gee whiz. I mean, I understand your right to freedom of speech, but to me, what he said is catamount to yelling fire in a theater. This guy is, something's got to be done about this guy. This is just insanity.
And you're talking about the
and
former guy, correct?
Yes, and not anybody in the Republican Party condemning it.
Yeah, he former President Donald Trump called for the doing away with the Constitution, and apparently that, just like the right-wing hate extremism that is boiling up into domestic terrorism, is not going to be called out either.
So my question would be, if he were to get elected again, why even have the ceremony of, you know, the whole thing? Because he's saying that we should just disband the thing. He didn't say suspend it. He said get rid of it.
Yeah, do away with. Yeah, I do not know what the political logic is there, Dick. He just wants power to me, it is because he is so damn scared of the criminal liability that he may face after skating it for decades. He is terrified now, and he knows the only way to avoid that is to have what the terrible Department of Justice legal memo is, that if you're a sitting president, you can't get indicted. You can't be held accountable.
That's what it is. He thinks the office of the presidency is his literal get-out-of-jail-free card.
I honestly think that if the guy's indicted, he would be a flight risk, don't you think?
Yeah, he'd be a flight risk. He'd be a mouthpiece to instigate more hate. We saw it on January 6th. There was domestic terrorism committed against the process of the peaceful transfer of power, and he's still not being fully held accountable for that. And so, yes, he may fly to another country, but I fear more, Dick, that he will continue to foment this political violence that we are seeing over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can find a country that take him and Putin. Making love their lives out together.
I don't know if he would necessarily flee to Putin, because I think all of his critics would pretty much say, "We told you so," after all the Russia stuff and him vehemently denying it from 2016 and still to this day. So,
did you see Kevin McCarthy's tweet about how the day that the Republicans take the House back, they're going to sit on the House floor
and they're going to read the whole Constitution. Yep.
And then 2 days later, the leader of the party's like, "Nah, we should throw it all out."
Yeah,
it's overrated anyways. The founding fathers don't support that. They support me, Donald Trump.
We appreciate your call, Dick. The juxtaposition of those two comments, Kevin McCarthy trying to be the next Speaker of the House and the leading GOP presidential candidate for 2024, because that is what he is. He's the leading candidate for Republicans. You can have Republicans here in Wisconsin or around the country try to distance themselves from him, but right now, he's the leading candidate, and he probably will be until Republican primary voters start going to the caucuses and primaries in the beginning of 2024. So he's only going to continue to have he's only going to grow in strength as he tries to run again for another term as president, continue to foment this rhetoric that is leading to right-wing violence around the country. We're going to continue on over the phone lines. We've got Catherine and Madison calling in as well. Catherine, what's on your mind this Monday afternoon?
Hi, Luke. I was calling about this whole thing with the term woke.
Okay.
And I think we should embrace it, because the opposite of being woke is to be asleep, right? And I think that means the MAGAs are sleepwalkers, because if they're not woke, they're asleep, but they're walking, right? I'm not going to call them zombies, but they're definitely not awake. So I just think we should just start referring to them as sleepwalkers.
All right, that's not a bad idea.
Turn the phrase on its head.
Yeah, well, and I think that goes to your point, Will, where it's more of they've just got their heads in the sands then. But I think the anti-woke movement is worse. I think they're acknowledging that there are injustices, and I think that they're trying to be anti-fixing those injustices. They benefit from those injustices, and so for those people that want to support a quote-unquote woke agenda, to fix the problems that they see in the country, I think if you're going to be anti that, that should be pointed out as well. But we appreciate your phone call, Catherine. Because, yeah, it's a pretty interesting dynamic right now with what's going on and how we're defining these terms, woke, domestic terrorism. And we've got now another interesting kind of paradox, Will, that's going on here in the state of Wisconsin, because one of the leading election deniers from 2020.
She's juicy, Luke.
She's going to now run for a Republican primary because she wants to seek higher office. And I'm talking about one state representative, Janelle Branchen, one of the leading election deniers from 2020 here in Wisconsin. She tried to throw out all these theories of a stolen election. She was appointed in 2020 after promoting those theories by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to still chair the Assembly Elections Committee. But she continued on with these crazy theories a little bit too long for Robin Voss and others in the Republican caucus in the state assembly. And so she got kicked out of a closed-door caucus meeting because she lost the trust of her fellow Republican lawmakers. And so now, Will, she's saying, well, the assembly be damned. I'm going to throw my hat in the ring for state senate. And so this goes on for the continuation of a story we were talking about last week when it comes to State Senator Alberta Darling, long time serving, longer than Will's lifetime serving in the state senate.
Yep.
Alberta Darling for that 8th state senate district retired last week, Thursday, December 1st. And so it's a Republican-leaning district. Republicans definitely took away lots of portions of the blue trend the district was facing before 2020 in the latest round of redistricting. But it's going to be interesting because now there are 3 Republicans. So there's going to be a Republican primary on February 21st for this seat, Will. And I'm curious to know what you think. You think Branchen's got a shot at winning this whole thing?
You know, this is my neck of the woods. Darling was my senator for quite literally my entire life. My assembly district representative, Dan Knodel, announced last week, as we discussed on the December 1st show. And Dan's a good little partisan party boy. They love him. They were clearly setting him up for this position. I think it's hilarious. I think it's absolutely hilarious that Branchen's willing to, you know, stick her neck out there, because that makes me sound like I'm like defending her actions. But the fact that she's like willing to tell the party, like, oh, you guys don't like me? Well, piss off. I don't like you either. I'm gonna run for this race too. Like, it's very Donald Trumpian, right? That he's kind of so petty and angry with the party and the system that they're willing to make the fight at the primary level. I find myself saying this. This is probably like the 15th time I've said this on the show, but it's the meme from the King Kong Godzilla movie where he's just standing there like, let them fight.
Oh, see,
I'm all for it.
I think this is more like Silent Bob just stepping on all the rakes in The Simpsons, where it's very much that Robin Voss is reaping what he sows, because he allowed the crazy election theories put out there by Michael Gableman, state assembly person Janelle Branchen, and others around the state, and this is the result. When she continued down that line to a point farther than Voss wanted, he tried to cut it off. He tried to hold her accountable, kicked her out of the caucus meeting, not because it was too crazy of ideas, but because she wouldn't fall in line with Robin Voss's caucus.
She also supported his primary opponent. Let's not forget that.
That's true. And so Robin Voss said, well, we're gonna kick you out of the closed door caucus meeting. And so Branchen had the opportunity with Senator Darling retiring, and she's like, well, fine, I'm gonna run for this race, because there's probably gonna be a lot of money spent in this race. This seat, Will, is gonna determine
a supermajority seat.
Exactly. It is gonna determine whether or not Republicans receive a supermajority in the state Senate. It is a off-cycle election.
that is going to be happening this spring. There is a statewide race that is going to really juice, I think, turnout for both sides. And so it's going to make the typical spring election math a little bit trickier to predict with how important this seat is for the makeup of the state Senate and with that statewide race on the ballot as well. And so it's definitely going to be interesting. There's murmurs that there hasn't been any Democrats to announce yet for this seat. State Representative Deb Andraca said that she will not run. She's going to stay in her state assembly seat. She just ran twice. She got reelected in the last year. State assembly people have to run every 2 years, so she just got done with the second campaign in 2 years. She doesn't want to tack on a third one in 2.5 years. And so
the other two assembly candidates in this district are Branch and Knodel, who exactly. have both already and they're, announced for this race.
They're jumping in the Republican primary, so it's definitely going to be a race to keep an eye on. And I have a feeling it could be a very interesting one, because if the trends continue that we're seeing, we got a new Wisconsin Democracy campaign story and report out today, Will, that shows the state of Wisconsin outside spending broke the previous record set this past November. So more and more money being spent in the state. I think we're going to see that for the state Supreme Court race. I think we're going to see it for this special election in the 8th state Senate district. Money's going to be pumped in, and
national money is going to be pumped in for this race. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the outside spending is going to be off the charts, I believe, for the Supreme Court race alone. And now you add in a state Senate seat that is going to determine the makeup of whether or not Republicans get a supermajority. And
I mean, did you see those numbers, Luke? That is absurd. Shattering the old record of outside spending by over 50%, $93 million spent by outside groups. The old record was 61.8.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
150% against outside spending records, increased by 150%. And I have a feeling, though, Will, that the I think it's important to preface. The Republicans are likely to hold this seat. This is absolutely a Republican-lean district, the 8th state Senate district. But with all of the outside events that are going to go on, whether or not it's going to receive a viable Democratic candidate, because we do not know who this person or persons will be running on the Democratic side. We know that there's at least three Republicans. There's another non-elected Robert Albertson of Brown Deer is in the Republican primary as well, with Knodel and Branchin. But we don't know who's going to be on the Democratic side of the ticket, if there's going to be a Democratic primary or not yet. But with the outside attention, all bets are off, because it's going to be an important statewide race with the Supreme Court, where I have a feeling if trends continue from 14 to 18 to 2022 in this district, there could be some more movement that would make it less lean Republican. And outside spending is going to make a difference as well. So it's definitely a race to keep an eye on.
Remember, too, Luke, that none of those spending figures include spending for any of the federal races in the House or Senate.
Oh yeah, that was just the state of Wisconsin. That was
just
the governor,
the state of Wisconsin,
and the state legislature. So if you want to tack on the U.S. Senate race from Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes, I believe
most expensive in the nation.
Yep, and so there's a lot of money being spent here in the state of Wisconsin, and it's just going to continue to be a trend that we'll have to keep an eye on of what's going to go on. But State Assembly Person Janelle Branchin announcing that she is getting into the Republican primary for the 8th State Senate District, kind of telling the Republican caucus, I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. But she may be the underdog as well there, because I think Dan Canoto, like you said, has been kind of preparing for this. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents, joined by William Walter this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We got one segment left in the day. We're going to get to your phone calls next.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. It
Yeesh.
Is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 27 tonight under overcast skies. Winds out of the north around 5 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 38. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows around 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers. I'm joined this afternoon by William Walter. Will, you had a little scare there for a second. Oh, as you fix your mic, man, we'll get you set up to join us for this last segment here. But folks, if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Will, we got you now.
Are we good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. We can hear you, man.
My heart scare is racing, yeah.
We got to start a little GoFundMe or something for you to get a new laptop.
You're telling me, man.
But let's head over to those phone lines. We can squeeze in a couple more tangents here in this final segment of the day. We got Ross and Middleton calling in. Ross, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Luke and Will. My tangent is based on this conversation about, Darling's district. First of all, I'd like to make a comment that I wish I would have traded my Bitcoin stock and bought it in political advertising based upon all the money that was spent. I could have made some money off that. But the thing about the Darling district is that the 8th district. I couldn't remember what you guys were saying. It's not my district. I'm from Madison, Middleton, and it's that. With our gerrymandering, with this gerrymandering that we have all across the country, but especially here in Wisconsin, we end up allowing people like Branchon to become these viable candidates. It's like we create these sort of all Republican and all Democratic districts, and it just drives the conversation way out to the edges, and then it becomes sort of times these national conversations, and then you get all this money coming in from all around the country, and you're spending all this money on these local elections. But I think at the same, it can hurt the Democrats too, because in certain Democratic districts, the conversation can kind of get pushed way out to the side. And the only other comment tangent I was going to say is that what might be interesting in these gerrymandered districts is the sort of the lesser of the two parties. So like in Darling's old district, you almost think that the Democrat who may run in that district could be what you would think of as a moderate. That is, their most likely chance of winning is to try to snag some of those maybe moderate Republicans as well as all the Democrats. And so the only time I think you see a moderate in either party is in those districts that have been gerrymandered pretty badly.
Yeah, I believe moderates have really... There's not a whole lot of room for moderates in the way that these gerrymandered maps are, Ross, because, as you said, they're gerrymandered so bad both ways. I'm not saying that there's not moderates at all here in the state of Wisconsin, but they're far and few in between because you can have somebody... There's no political consequences for going to the right in these or left exactly. in these districts. There are consequences. The only political consequences elected officials here in the state of Wisconsin face are from extremists from either side. And I think it's much more prevalent in the Republican politics because this past cycle is a good example. Robin Voss was challenged in his primary and only beat that challenge by about 325 votes. And then we saw in the general, there was not a candidate. He was unopposed in the general. There was nobody else actually on the ballot. Both the candidates trying to beat him were write-ins, which usually not an effective way to win. But there was no way for him, either of his opponents, even last cycle in 2020 when he did have a Democratic opponent on the ballot, he won handedly because there's not any political consequences from the center. All of the political consequences happen in primaries here in the state of Wisconsin with these gerrymandered maps.
And first past the post voting, Luke. That's how they do it.
Yeah. I mean, if we had ranked choice voting in all of our districts across the state, but we still had this map, I think you could see instances like what's happening in Alaska, and it could go either way, where Mary Pertola won against Sarah Palin and another Republican because of ranked choice voting. More voters chose Pertola to over her Republican opponent. She was Democratic congresswoman now, but more chose her as their second choice of Republican voters choosing her over, say, Sarah Palin or the other alternative that she got first past the post. And we could see some really good election reforms if we took on things like ranked choice voting, but Robin Voss is never going to be the person to implement that plan. So if you want something like that, you got to be able to advocate for fair maps, which numerous counties around the state are doing, but they're not seeing that represented by the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. And then fair maps,
you could, like 80% of Wisconsinans support cannabis legalization, either medically or recreationally, and that has made no progress. So it really doesn't matter what the people think. Robin Voss has shown that. It's hilarious that that Robin Voss is considered a rhino now to so many of these people that they had to actually offer a primary challenger even further to the right. I mean, I don't know how you can compete with that. There's no moderates that are going to be exciting enough that some of these ultra conservative individuals who genuinely support the anti-democracy movement we're seeing amongst a lot of conservatives, well, they're never going to vote for someone like that. They're too lib, you know?
Yeah, I do not see something like that happening. I think the way that things get better politically here on the state level in Wisconsin is that these maps get taken up. Because we know from the 2011 maps that they were some of the worst gerrymandered maps in the nation, according to several different studies, including Harvard Law. And
a 3 out of 100 on the democracy scale.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible for democracy in the state of Wisconsin. And so the only way that some of these problems at the local level are going to get addressed and we get things like that the people want, like Medicaid expansion, Badger Care expansion, or cannabis legalization, or paid leave, or numerous different policy proposals, we need new maps. And so it'll be very interesting. Again, that's just going to lead to so much spotlight being put onto this state come next spring with the state Supreme Court race. And one of the ramifications of that as well is going to be an increased look at the special election in the state Senate's 8th state Senate district here in Wisconsin, in your neck of the woods, Will.
We've talked about it a lot, Luke, but I feel bad reiterating it because it's something the Democrats do every cycle, right? This is the most important election of your life until the next one. But this Supreme Court race, man, this might change the landscape of Wisconsin for the next 3-4 decades.
Yeah, so it's absolutely something that you have to be paying attention to, folks. I want to thank Will for joining me on this Monday afternoon. I want to thank Evan on the board. doing excellent work getting those ones and twos to go out over the airwaves across Civic Media. If you want to learn a little bit more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations, all the programming. You can sign up to learn more and be first in the know for where a station may be popping up next near you. And if you miss any portion of the show, you can go check out the podcast page on civicmedia.us. Click on Dueling Tangents. Check out the podcast. Will, really appreciate you joining me on this Monday. Thank you so much, and we'll see everybody tomorrow at 2 p.m.
It's always a good time, Luke. Peace out, party people.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.